The following podcast contains explicit language.
Tell me what type of girl you like. Like, what do you look for in a relationship? Like, what are you attracted to?
Honestly, I've typically, dated white girls.
For most of my life.
No, not only.
Okay.
Just mostly. I grew up in a predominantly white, neighborhood area. And so that's what was available to me in college, kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. So that was, the pool that I was kind of working with.
I mean, I grew up the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say that I dated predominantly non-black people.
Yeah.
I actually have predominantly dated black people.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to our second edition of Represent Rose. I'm Aisha Harris, your host normally, but for this special four-part recap series of The Bachelorette, my producer, Marilyn, is hosting.
Hi, and yes, as I tweeted last night, I am officially, absolutely, emotionally invested in this show.
That's great. I mean, I've only loosely been paying attention. It's been a pretty big week, right?
Oh my God, yes.
Or we had a big couple of weeks.
But this week in particular, ABC gave us episode 5 and episode 6 back to back this Monday and Tuesday.
That's so much in one week.
It's a lot. And of course, I made it my job. So
yeah,
it's been a great week. I created a Google Doc where I had all the guys that were there since episode 4. And I kept having to move them around as they got kicked off. So of course, me and Robin had to jump into the studio this morning. And this is Wednesday morning to record. And in case you're listening to this before you listen to the first edition of Represent Rose, Dr. Robin M. Boylan is an associate professor at the University of Alabama. And so we talk a lot. So let's just jump right in.
Yay.
Hey, Robin, how are you?
I'm good.
So where to start? I feel like in the last one, we talked a lot about being Team Eric and just really anticipating the race conversation. That they were foreshadowing was going to happen in the previews. And we left off with Eric and Lee kind of, and for listeners, first of all, this is spoiler full. So if you have not watched The Bachelorette and you want to watch without spoilers, this is not the episode for you. Go and watch up to episode 6 and then come back, because we're not explaining. We're just going to try to power through this. So we left off with Lee and Eric kind of ending things and feeling like Eric was going to be was being depicted as an angry black man.
Right.
And then when we came back on episode 4, somehow Eric learned to fall back. And then Kenny kind of was then it was a bait and switch. It was we thought we were going to get Eric as the angry black man, but then somehow Kenny became the angry black man, aggressive guy.
Right, which was really interesting because he had been framed as, this really great father figure for his daughter. So whenever he suddenly became characterized as an angry, aggressive black man, and the ways in which he kind of fell into that, that was an interesting shift, especially because of the ways in which Eric disappeared from the storyline, from the racism storyline.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I was really frustrated with throughout, up until last night, because I was dang, he doesn't even get to just be the doting father, the sweet father. And I feel like even as Lee was baiting him, and then he kept calling Lee a snake, in I think episode 5, and I just kind of felt like his feelings were being he was becoming a caricature of himself, right? The way they kept reinforcing the snake analogy, and I say the way they because I feel like even in the times that he brought it up in his confessionals, I just kept feeling like there was a producer that kept asking him to use that word snake, right? I don't know. It just felt very put on a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And I also think that there was some intentionality around framing Kenny that way, because Kenny is a professional wrestler.
Yes.
Kenny is a physically, so he has this physicality to him that Eric just doesn't. Eric is just this pretty boy.
Mm.
And then you have Kenny, who's a dark-skinned, older, physically intimidating black man. So he becomes more of a scapegoat for that trope, right? Kenny is more believable. So when you say Kenny is aggressive, that's more believable than Eric is aggressive. And even their performances of their performances in reaction to Lee's antagonism. Mm. You know, Eric raised his voice. Kenny actually physically took up more space. Yeah. You know, his anger caused him to kind of spread out, which yeah. I imagine is also because he's a professional wrestler. But I think that visually, they were able to cast Kenny as a villain or yeah. cast Kenny as dangerous in a way that Eric just didn't read, even when he was upset.
Upset, yeah. And so there's been a lot of, like, I've been looking at the tweets and I've been really trying to, like we talked about last time, watch it. But then also I'm really aware of, like, how other people are watching it and how other people right. might be thinking about Kenny differently from the way that I'm thinking about it. And I saw a yeah. lot of people just being like, okay, Lee is a liar. Because then Lee tells Rachel at one point that Kenny yelled at him and pulled him out of a van.
Yes.
Like, flat out lying. And the things that I was seeing on Twitter was people were being like, well, not all the shots are shown. Like, there were people that watched that and thought otherwise. Like, didn't just think that Lee is a liar. Like, they were like, well, maybe there is footage that they just didn't see. And it was totally believable for them that this guy would pull Lee out of a van and that they wouldn't show it on television.
That's so ridiculous. Of course they would have shown that on television.
Of course they would have showed that.
Because everything that they showed in that Kenny versus Lee sequence, because even when they showed Kenny with the cut above his eye, they made it seem like that was the result of some exchange between he and Lee.
Yes.
So, of course they would have shown that if that had happened. And if that had happened, Kenny probably would have been dismissed from the show.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's ridiculous. That's a stretch. But it goes to show, like we talked about last time, the ways in which black men are cast as criminally minded, aggressive and dangerous individuals. So it's easy to believe that a black man can do anything and or would be capable of any type of violence, mm-hmm. particularly toward, you know, a defenseless white man, even though we know that that's not at all who Lee was.
And I just want to unpack the term of, like, you know, I don't like the way he handled it, which is something, you know, I've talked to my coworkers about. I've talked to even my friend, shout out to Tracy Hunt, who I watched episode 4 and episode 6 with. She even said, you know, we both were on the same page as far as Kenny, like, his depiction being changed from, like, doting dad to angry black man. But yeah. she did say she didn't like the way that he handled it, in the sense of the things that, like, the scene on episode 5 when Lee tells Rachel that he's aggressive.
He's aggressive. He yelled at me.
Mm-hmm. And then Kenny comes out and he's like, Lee, can I talk to you for a minute? And takes him outside into the patio.
Right.
And, you know, after that scene, you know, Lee kept, I don't know whether it was the alcohol talking, but he just kept cursing at Lee and, like, saying, like, I will shit in your shoes. Like, just, like, talking shit.
Right.
You know, like, just, like, yeah. he was angry, like, talking shit. And I do think that, like, there was a point where, you know, of course, Lee keeps egging him on. There was a point where, like, he could have just stopped and walked out the door, and he just, like, was like, it was almost as if he had to prove his manhood in some weird way. I think, like, that's, and there was a lot of that, like, even in the final scene when, okay, so first of all, after episode 5, I was like, why is Rachel not talking to them together? Like, she talks to Kenny, gets one story. She talks to Lee. Lee tells her that, Kenny is an alcoholic. I forgot that part, right? That Kenny is an alcoholic.
and he gets really aggressive. He really changes when he drinks. Yes.
Has this other dark side to him and pulls him out of a van. Mm-hmm. And then Rachel's looking at him like, what? Huh? Like, because she had just talked to Kenny. And then she goes back to the both of them. They're sitting there. And in the voiceover, you hear her say, you know, I wanted to leave my lawyer hat at home, but I have to bring my lawyering out. And then I'm thinking she's going to talk to both of them at the same time in that moment. But then she pulls Kenny to the side again. And she says, Kenny, well, he just told me all these things. And Kenny is looking, like, flabbergasted. Like, what? Like he's a liar. Like, you know that phone moment when your mom is a kid? I just brought me back to, like, those days where my mom would accuse me of something. Because there have been times where, like, I would lie. I'm not going to front. Like, I lied to my mom. We all lie. But it hurts more when someone accuses you of something that is just a flat-out lie.
Yeah, like, I legit did not do that. What are you talking about?
Right. And it's just this feeling of like always having to prove yourself, and that's frustration, and this like, why don't you believe me? So I completely sympathized with Kenny in that moment. But I was really frustrated by Rachel in that moment because I wanted her to talk to them together, like just be like, yo, okay, so you keep telling me this, you keep telling me that. That like she never, even in the next episode.
Right.
When she finally does sit them both down, but she never talks to them about what they said in front of both of them. And that was very frustrating to me.
Absolutely. And I understand the, you know, the frustration with Kenny and his reactions, but I think he was quite measured. Mm-hmm. And even in the final episode with them, when they were together and on the two-on-one date,
mm-hmm.
and Kenny finally said, you know, when Kenny comes back and tells, after Rachel dismisses Lee and Lee lies again,
and
they're getting on the helicopter, and then yeah. Kenny has to go back. It's like he keeps trying to give Lee the benefit of the doubt. And I'm like, what are you doing? This is a racist.
Yes.
You cannot, you know, it's like you cannot have a reasonable conversation with a racist. He's going to continue because Lee was very intentionally trying to get Kenny to react in the ways that Kenny was reacting.
Absolutely.
And Kenny fell for it. But I think that it's, and because we also have that exchange he had with Will, where Will was trying to explain to Lee,
mm-hmm.
this is problematic racist rhetoric that you're using.
Yeah.
You know, to call a black man aggressive has these implications. I think Will was ridiculously calm. Like,
my God.
You know, like, I'm like, wait, what? And so you have Eric that wasn't having it, Kenny that's not having it, and then Will who refuses to react.
Yeah.
But, and I get that.
Because he was trying to get Will to say aggressive, like in that moment when they're on the balcony.
Yes.
You can tell, and Will was just like, I'm not going to say the word because, like, aggressive has a history for black men in America. Like, you know, aggressive
Absolutely.
Has been used to justify so much. So I'm not going to say the words. And then he goes into the whole race card thing, Lee.
Yeah, but didn't it feel like that was just so tempered?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, Will, you're really level-headed. That's amazing. But it takes a certain type of person to be able to absorb that ignorance and hatred that Lee was putting out. And the fact that Will did that was impressive. But I think that it's this unique.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think we should just be out here expecting black men to
yeah.
give racist white men the benefit of the doubt when they're being, you know, when they're trying you in
mm-hmm.
the ways in which Kenny was tried.
Mm-hmm.
So especially in the moment, I think, you know, we all can look back on things and say, okay, I could have handled that better, or I should have done this or that. And I think Will had the benefit of watching Lee interact with these other black men,
mm-hmm.
and so he refused to engage. But we also have to keep in mind, Lee was not coming for Will.
Yeah.
You know, so Lee was not attacking Will. So Will's measured reaction was because he wasn't being personally attacked. So he could have a measured reaction.
Yeah.
But when someone is constantly coming at you,
yeah.
I think, you know, like, I honestly felt, because it was such a those interactions were so triggering. I was so upset,
yeah.
And I felt like ABC. And there's been some critiques, right? There've been several critiques and articles out critiquing ABC for using racism for
yeah.
ratings.
Yeah.
And I felt that because, you know, it was like I wanted to turn the television off. It was sickening the ways in which we were getting cliffhangers around. Okay, when is a black man gonna, you know, slap this white man, you know, when is he going to punch him out? Because
yeah,
it,
yeah.
and all of that lead up, that's what happened. So it was very problematic and triggering for me. And I wanted somebody to just call it what it was and say, you're racist. Can we just say that instead of beating around the bush? Will was alluding to it, but he wouldn't say it. Dean even said it,
Dean,
you know,
did
or alluded
it.
To it. You know, he was
He's
like, he has a problem with people who are different or, you know, culturally different or something like
mm-hmm.
that. And I'm like, but, okay, that's good, but can you just say he's racist?
Yeah.
Can we say that? Why aren't we saying that?
Yeah.
and calling that what it is? And why didn't Rachel say that? Because I think finally she got it and she was like, okay, he's lying.
Yeah.
And he's probably lying because he thinks I'm going to believe these things about a black man. But why not just say that? Why not just say, you're racist? This is racist. Can we not say that on The Bachelorette when there's a black bachelorette and,
yeah.
you know, an interracial cast? Can we not do that?
I think people stop. The problem with the word racist is that people stop listening. When, you know, Jay Smoove has a really, he's a vlogger and, you know, he's been vlogging for years. And he, that video of like, you know, calling someone a like having the race conversation and calling someone a racist versus saying what you did was racist. And sometimes, you know, people of color, when black people, we have to say what you, we have to like do the work of explaining what you did is racist. Because if you call someone a racist, they stop listening because it becomes a like a who I am conversation as opposed to what you're doing conversation. And honestly, Lee is racist, period.
Yeah.
And I think like, because when white people hear you call someone racist, they start to evaluate themselves and they start to look at it and say, like, okay, well, would I have made similar choices? And like, in the if I had made those similar choices, I know that's not what I know. I'm not racist in my heart, so he can't be racist. You know what I mean? It starts to be this like, oh, you're saying something about me when you call Lee racist, and it's like, no, I mean, Lee's racist. That's just
but
a thing.
No, I get that.
Yeah,
I get that. I get that. But if someone, even if they didn't call him a racist, even if they would have just said that's racist, I just wanted to hear racist.
Yeah.
I needed to hear racist in one of those three episodes because there was a lot of racism happening and no one was just calling
it out.
It's like everyone felt it, but no one was naming it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, because maybe ABC could be forgiven for that if they would have fleshed it out and let that word be spoken and hang in the air.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was just bubbling over, but no one would say it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think that
problematic for me.
That scene between Rachel Lee and Kenny was, I wanted it because I wanted him to be called out on his bullshit. And I wanted, you know, because in that moment, because there's always, I think for viewers watching it, there was still like a tinge of, he could be telling the truth that I think was left out there that I wish wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
What did you think about Kenny going back to Lee after, you know, Rachel dismisses Lee and they're walking to the jet to leave? And then Kenny, you know, she's walking off with Kenny to the plane. And then Kenny turns around and goes back to Lee. What in that moment, what were you thinking?
I was thinking, because of the setup, the way it had been set up, I was thinking he was going to go confront him and physically assault him. Like, I honestly thought there was a physical assault about to happen. Like, I need to go and say goodbye to him.
Yeah.
Was going to be fist to face.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, even Lee had mentioned, you know, he had said that I'll probably get hit in the face for saying this, for lying, but it's worth it. You know, like, he didn't care. So that, I think the way that they set it up, that's what I was expecting. I was actually disappointed because what ended up happening was, and not disappointed because he didn't hit him. I'm not saying that I wanted him to hit him, but I was disappointed that he bothered to go back to try to rationalize with him again.
Yeah.
And I mean, because one of the things that happened by Kenny going back, I think Kenny was attempting to humanize himself.
Yeah.
Like I'm a rational person, but what he ended up doing was seemingly humanizing Lee, or humanizing a racist, because he was saying, you know, there's really a good there's a good part of you, Lee. There's a good Lee in there somewhere, you know. And I'm like, don't give him the benefit of the doubt. This person has been race baiting you this entire time. And if not you, the other black male contestants, those that he found, you know, it's almost like his entire purpose of being there was to thwart the possibility of black love.
Yeah.
You know, was to badmouth the black men and or make Rachel suspicious of the black men so that even if it wasn't him, because I have absolutely, I do not believe that Lee had any intention or interest in Rachel.
Absolutely not.
But, you know, but I think the point was to make sure that a black man didn't get her or that she wouldn't have interest in a black man. And in some ways, it worked, right?
Yeah.
Because she, even the night after some of that initial things happened, I think the end of episode 4, I'm thinking, okay, Lee's out of here. He's leaving.
Yeah.
And she dismisses the black man.
Hmm.
And okay. I'm like, oh,
yes.
Okay. You know, Diggy left. I'm like, okay. But in episode 5, at the end of the last episode, there's one black man still standing.
Yeah.
And that is Eric.
That's Eric.
With his fine ass.
Yes.
But it's not.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not convinced that she's going to end up with a black man now, and I'm kind of disappointed.
Mm. But let's be real. So when she dismissed Diggy, I was like, oh my God, Diggy's there. I mean, Diggy left and Lee's still there. Like, what the hell?
Right.
But at the end of the day, I didn't think she was going to end up with Diggy, right? And similarly, you know, I was team Josiah. Like, I love me some Josiah and his little Bible knowing behind. Like, I was really here for him. But there was this episode, I think in episode 5, where, you know, they're on a group date, but they're having their one-on-one time. And she's talking mm-hmm. to him. And she tells him, like, I feel like you always say things about me that you probably read about me, but you don't ask me any questions about me. And he's so confident that she's going to be swept away with him that he doesn't see that for what it was, as like a ask me a question or like, you know, right. like get to know me. And he completely is just like, you're wonderful, you're great. And I did feel like, oh, he's going home in that moment. He needs to go home because there was no yeah. chemistry between them.
There wasn't. And he was just so cocky yes. at that point. He became very cocky. And I think because he felt like he was the most eligible Black man left.
Yeah.
And
he's like, I'm a
no.
lawyer, you a lawyer, we good, we, you know.
Right. and the ways in which, you know, he's one of the only, and I'm not sure, I would have to go back and check, but it seems like he's the one of the only men who, after being let go or sent home, has negative things to say on his way out.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Everybody else had a very, you know, has just been very humble about leaving. Like, oh, I understand she has, you know, to make these difficult decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, and he just seemed to be like, well, forget you then. You know, it was the equivalent of the dude trying to kick it to you when you're
yeah.
not interested. Well, forget you then. I ain't like you anyway. Right. And it was like, really? And that kind of exposed the fact that I think he wasn't really that interested anyway.
Yeah.
Because the other guys that I think are really interested are not kicking chairs over on their way out. Not that he did that, but, you know, metaphorically, like, we'll yeah. forget you then. There yeah. wasn't that.
But then I'm trying to remember, I think with her, like, when you know, after she doesn't give him a rose and he hugs her, he says, like, you take care now, or something like that. Like, he doesn't say...
He didn't disrespect her in person,
but in the... confessionals,
the interview.
Before
yeah.
she actually didn't give him, he said something like, if she doesn't give me a role, something is wrong with her head. And I was like, oh, sir.
Right.
Oh, sir.
Yes, he did.
You need
yes,
to go
he did.
Right now.
And that's, you know, yeah. And so I was like, yeah, you do not deserve to be chosen. Because what would that person be like in a relationship,
absolutely.
In an argument?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Not here for that.
But her, the fact that she left, she dismissed Anthony in that same, you know, rose ceremony, I was really surprised by that. Because they had a great date early on the horse through L.A.
Yes.
And I was just, was it L.A.? Well, they were on horses. I don't remember.
Yes,
where
I think, but yeah, they were in Hollywood.
In Hollywood,
yeah.
Okay. And so I didn't see any, you know, I think Rachel at this point is really, you know, she keeps saying, I'm just trying to see who can be my husband. Like, she's like really basing her, and you know, how she feels, going with her gut. When she said that gut thing, it reminded me of like Olivia Pope. Like, she's like, I gotta trust my gut. And then she let Anthony go. And there was nothing that happened that made me see why she sent home Anthony.
No, I agree. And that was also, you know, the en masse Black man being sent home episode.
Yeah.
And Anthony was
Black man massacre.
Was the, yeah, it was like, he was the safest and he was sweet. And
yeah.
like you said, there was no drama.
No drama.
And the interesting thing that happened is because Eric is very vocal, which I really
yeah.
appreciate. So he was the one to say,
God.
Okay, I'm not, you know, I don't really trust this process. But he also was saying, okay, she's sending a lot of Black dudes
yeah.
home. Maybe Black men aren't her thing.
Yeah.
And Anthony is the one who said, no, I don't think it's like that. I don't think she sees us that way. Meanwhile, dude, she clearly wasn't seeing you at all.
I
thought that was ironic.
Yeah, very. And his answer was so measured. He was like, me, I have the correct answer. He's
right.
like, no, we are all individuals. She does not see us as a monolith, something like that. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And then he went home that very episode, which I thought was
yeah.
hilarious.
And he went home when she says that she's now focusing on people that she can actually see as her husband, it makes me really curious about what her standards and criteria are.
Yeah.
Because the men that are still left are so different.
Yeah.
I don't really see what, you know, maybe aesthetically or personality, like they're just so different. And the oddball out, of course, is Eric, because he
yeah.
is the only Black guy that's remaining. But I'm confused. I'm really curious to see what it is about the men that are still there that make them husband material for her.
Yeah, the fact that she let Matt is still there, I just keep being like, yo, every 2 seconds I'm like, who's Matt? Okay, Matt is the penguin suit guy. But like, okay, so in this doc that me and you have together, like everyone else has like stuff under them. For Matt, all we have is the penguin suit guy.
That's the only
thing that we really, and then he has that weird like McDonald's hairline, McDonald's sign hairline.
Yes,
that's a little petty, but I was like
Matt,
why is he still here? My other theory is that she feels like it's wrong to send home somebody without having a one-on-one. I think like maybe that's another thing that maybe she's thinking, like, you know, like she hasn't given him a chance yet. So maybe, and him and Adam is the one with the doll, right? The one with the doll. Him too. We just have like, why, who, why, what? I don't understand. Why is he here? And he's another one. It's like those two, but I think maybe, you know, maybe she'll do a 2-on-1 with them in the next episode, and she'll get one of them out of there quickly and then, you know, get the last one out during the rose ceremony. Can we circle back and talk about Will? And
yes.
So it ends up being at the beginning of episode 6, the black guys that are left are Will, Kenny, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Eric. And Kenny goes home before the rose ceremony because, first of all, I'm really happy that Kenny left on his own terms, right? He was pretty much just like, you know, I have a lot at home. And I, like, for me to be here, I have to feel like it's actually going somewhere. And if it's not, like, let's just wrap this up now.
Yes.
And Rachel agreed with him. And then he went home to his daughter, Mackenzie. And that scene in the car actually made me tear up. I don't know if you cried.
Yes, he was very sweet.
It was very sweet. And I want, Mackenzie, I'm here for Team Mackenzie, because she was just like,
we really, really like each other, but she really understands how much me being away from you was really hurting me and like breaking me in half. Thank you, baby. I love.
So then at this point is Will and Eric. Eric gets his group date, his one-on-one date.
It was interesting because, right, one of the things that happened that we learned before the one-on-one date is that Will has not really dated black women.
What does he say? It was such an interesting way that he framed it. I don't typically date. Like, what the
fuck
does
that mean? One of the things that was most interesting about that, because on the at the nighttime portion of their one-on-one date, whenever Rachel was kind of asking him questions about what his, you know, what he's looking for, what he generally dates, and that's when he admits, well, I usually date white girls. And I found it to be interesting the way Rachel's reaction to that, because she seemed to have like the typical black girl reaction when a black dude is telling you, oh, I don't date black women. Mm. And then she said, never, or, you know, like, like you never date black women.
And he's like,
or
no,
you
no, not
typically
never.
Don't date.
Not never.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, not never. And then, you know, we had the whole excuse around, because there's no black girls where I live. You know, like I lived in a predominantly white neighborhood, so there were no black girls. Right. So I think, and her reaction to that, and the ways in which she was off put by it, was indicative of being the dark skinned black girl who is oftentimes overlooked because you're the dark skinned black girl, right? And so I could feel that tension between them at that point. And they were kicking it like friends. So their entire date, it was cool, but it wasn't like she's been all hugged up, kissed up, you know, with all of these other guys and very intimate on their one-on-one dates. And with Will, it wasn't like that, and it was unclear why. You know, he just seemed.
And he said that he was affectionate with other women. He was affectionate, right?
Exactly, which to me meant you're not into her.
Yeah,
and she has said, I think in a previous episode, that she, you know, she really needs
physical
to feel
touch.
Wanted and desired in a relationship, and that's important to her. And he didn't seem to be into her at all. So at which point he's like, okay, I usually only date white girls. And he's then like, he says, and I'm very affectionate. I'm very physically affectionate in relationships. And she's looking like, okay, I'm not a white girl, and you haven't been affectionate with me at all.
Yeah. And so I love her low-key, you know, her low-key read, because she was just like, me too. I grew up around white people, too. And,
right.
And actually, I've dated mostly black men.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, she gives epic shade. Yeah. And that look, she has this look she will give them, like, what now? And so I'm so here for Rachel, the black girl.
Yes.
I'm so here for Rachel, the black girl.
Yes.
So I appreciated that read. And so I just found it, honestly, I found it odd that those things about Will came out now. That it just seemed very, very odd to me. And it was unfortunate then that Kenny had decided on his own accord to leave.
Yeah.
Because I think that he would have, you know, that he would have still been there. And there would have at least still been two black men. Because I don't think she, you know, because like you said earlier, I definitely had this curiosity at the beginning of the season to see how long black men would last.
Yeah.
You know, like, is it possible for this to be an actual black love story?
Mm-hmm.
And not just a black bachelorette? And so I've been disappointed as black men have left, but I also get it, right? You know, because like you said, Diggy, he was not, you know, he wasn't it. He wasn't it. Josiah wasn't it. Kenny, unfortunately, they just couldn't get it together. The storyline was too much about Kenny and his animosity toward Lee that to ever really see what that could have been between them, because there was always this thing between them. Is he lying? Is he telling the truth? Is he, you know, how does he act when I'm not around? What is he like when he drinks?
Yeah.
But, so I was really disappointed that Will, too, deserved to go home. So I can't even say that the black men she's dismissed should have stayed, you know, off the measure of being black men.
Yeah.
But I also can't say that I'm completely clear on why some of the white men have stayed. So, like, in these previous few episodes, I'm like, okay, I get it. But some of the earlier episodes, some of the black men that left earlier, that were dismissed soon, I think probably could have lasted a little bit longer.
Like an Anthony.
Definitely an Anthony.
Yeah.
And even some of the ones that were there in the first few episodes that didn't last, you know. Not necessarily Fred, because I got that. Fred, couldn't get past Fred being, you know, a badass kid. But, you know, I think that there were some of the other black men that didn't get an opportunity to fully flesh out who they were to her.
But maybe there was an age thing, too, because I know Anthony is 26. And I had said from early on that I don't think that Rachel is really here for, you know, being that much of an age difference between the person that she chooses. That's why I don't think Dean ultimately is going to be the person that she chooses. So maybe, I mean, we're looking at it like, why isn't she keeping the black men? But maybe she's considering the black men first. And so therefore they get kicked off first because she knows in her heart that this is not her husband. You know, that's... You know, me trying to psychoanalyze Rachel Lindsay. But
No, I get that. And Dean, Dean is young too.
But Dean is fun. Dean is affectionate.
He's very cute.
He's
like
very
the smile.
Cute.
And I'm so here for Dean. So when Dean was saying Lee makes me uncomfortable, he's a creep, he's an idiot, and he's racist, but not saying racist. I was like, okay, I'm here for you, Dean. I kind of forgive you for saying when you first met Rachel that you're ready to go black and never go back, because that was kind of unforgivable at the moment. But I'm like, okay, you're redeeming yourself a little bit. You just were a little corny, but you're redeeming yourself. But I think you're right. He's young. And at the end of the day, will he be ready right away to get
married and
start a family?
Yeah. Dean shares the fact that his mom died of cancer when he was 14.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just really been open and, like, very vulnerable with Rachel. And I think, like, that's another thing she's looking for. Like, who is opening up to me? Who's being vulnerable? Who's taking a risk and showing me, like, putting all their cards out? Because, you know, she also says repeatedly that she's afraid to do that herself.
Absolutely. And that's one of the qualities I can say. So a few of the men that are still left have been really real with her, like Brian and Eric and Dean, because Eric also kind of shared a little bit about his relationship with his mother and his, you know, ambivalence about relationships in the past because of that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and so as I'm watching this, I'm watching it as a fan, you know, as a cultural critic and consumer, but also as a potential future producer, right? Because I'm like, okay, what is the storyline behind this? Because I'm thinking that Eric will at least make it to hometowns, because he's opened up this story about this rift between him and his mom.
Yeah.
So we now have to meet his mom,
yes,
right?
Yes.
We have to see who she is, where he came from, and what the issue is between them.
Yeah.
That has caused him to have, you know, the ambivalence that he does around love relationships.
But that date in general with Eric and Rachel made me very happy. That was the first time that I was like, I was cheesing the whole time. And I was just like, like, I can see this. I want this for them. I want this for her.
Yes.
Unless, she, I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to, I guess what I'm trying to do is like balance my want, my desire for quote unquote black love with like, okay, that might be a part of the reason why I'm single, right? Or like a part of the reason why, you know, this idea that like, you know, you need that, you know, we can't even use Cosby as a reference anymore. Damn. But like,
yeah,
we need
we
like a,
yeah,
no. a blackish, mm-hmm. a blackish, you know, kind of marriage, right? Or like even my parents, like, you know, my parents have been married. I'm 31. My parents have been married for 33 years. And so, like, you know, we have this ideal of what we want, but maybe
yes.
we should be, you know, be doing the swirl a little bit more. And I think, like, that's maybe some of, like, as I watch it, some of the stuff that's going on with me personally.
Yes. I think that's one of the challenges. For me, as a, you know, as someone who is really interested and somewhat invested in black love, mm-hmm. in there being a representation of black love, and mm-hmm. there being a show that shows us that it is possible,
yeah.
in regardless of the situation, I'm really invested in Eric more now than ever, and he's always been my front runner because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay, Baltimore, you know, like, you know, from the first episode when he the After the Rose episode that he showed up at, but. And I feel very invested in them ending up together, not only because I kind of called it from the beginning, but because he's like the most regular black dude.
Mm.
Because to me, I think that is just as important as the black
yeah.
love. It's that you can have a professional black woman who's very prominent be with a regular black dude, right? Because Eric's like, what, a fitness trainer or something? You know, he's not a lawyer. He's not a corporate banker. You know, he's out here being regular, but it's just so sweet and lovable. And I want to see that be possible
yeah.
as much as the black love be possible, that, you know, that black women who have reached a particular level in their career or lives can still find love. And it doesn't have to be someone that's doing the exact same thing that they're doing.
Absolutely.
That can still be successful black love. So I'm invested in that. But I'm also, you know, this is also challenging me to think about the ways in which black women sometimes limit ourselves
mm-hmm.
because of a rigidity around, I have to have a black love story. I have to end up with a black man. Because one of the things that Rachel is doing, and I think is teaching us as she's doing it, is she's not afraid to let go of something that's not right. Like, you're not it. You're black, you're beautiful,
yes.
but you're not it. You know, so maybe, and you're not reaching me in the ways that some of these white boys are reaching me. But the thing is, Rachel also has a particular aesthetic. This is TV.
Yes.
And I'm not convinced that white boys are just out here checking for black girls like that.
Yeah.
To be real. So I don't know that, you know, these are really our problem.
Yeah, Dean said that this was his first time dating a black woman, right? Didn't he say that when Eric
He did.
When they were talking about Will not dating a lot of black women or typically dating
right.
black women.
Yes.
Yeah, Dean says, like, oh, do you think that he should tell her that? Because, you know, like, to be frank, like, something like, this is my first time dating a black woman. But, and Eric just be saying making all the points. Because he was like, it
does.
Is different that he's a black man and never, like, you just assume that he's dated. Like, he just always says the thing that you're just like, okay, this is the thing.
So smart. Yeah,
so
exactly.
Smart, yeah.
So smart.
Like, one thing I'm noticing is just, like, the little black things that are done and said. So, like, with Eric saying swag, swag, as Rachel got out of the boat in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and then, like, Rachel, in one of the group dating situations, you know, as she walked in, she goes, ooh, and, like, that's, like, such a, like, you know, from that song, you call
yes.
it. Yeah, okay. I'm like,
uh-huh.
And I'm just like, oh, like, those are things that, like, you know, me and my girls do at brunch or whatever the case might be. And it's just so, like, specific black that, like,
yes.
if you blink and you'll miss it. But, you know, it's something that I've never really just got to see represented on television like this,
right.
you know?
Right. Absolutely. And it's endearing. And it makes me even more, it's always made Eric very endearing, you know, because when they first met and he was just kind of dancing up to her. And
yes.
It's just, and I think that that, even if she's guarded, that has to break her walls down every time he does that, because he just has this way of putting her at ease by just being regular.
Absolutely.
And you know,
and taking her out of the thing that she needs to do, which is ultimately transition the show, right? So she needs to be like, okay, so we're going to da da da, like she needs to do her the show part of the falling in love. And like you can tell, like she
forgets,
like,
what, like, wait, what are we doing? What's the script? What am I supposed to say? What am, right. Yeah. So
yeah.
I think she's a little smitten by, I think she's smitten by Eric as well. Not just us.
Yeah.
But if she doesn't want him, you know, Eric, I'm in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Come holla.
Yeah. He's selling hats, by the way. We got a press release from him, from his people. And at first, I was like, oh, I can't read this, because I was thinking, like, maybe that means that he's off the show. And I was just like, no. But it's actually, let me see if I can find it. Eric Bigger. Yeah, so we got a press release to have him on, you know, I guess he's looking for press. And it's because he's, like, selling the cap trap, where he has inspirational quotes. Such as, it's miracle season. So he's selling caps.
Okay. And that is his line, right?
Yeah.
Miracles. This is your miracle season. Okay.
Yeah. So
okay, Eric.
I could forward this to you. Maybe there's a way, you know, you could be like, listen, I have a show. It's going to be at dinner at 7. We have access. We have ways
yes,
to get to him, is what I'm saying.
Send me that. Yes.
I will definitely forward this to you. One thing, okay, so the front runners, it seems like everyone, you know, I've read a few of the recaps, and a lot of people are saying that Peter and Dean are the front runners, and then also some people, yeah, people are like Peter and Dean, like that's literally like all the experts that have been watching this show forever and ever are saying. Peter is the one that she was in the hot tub with.
Yes.
Which is very steamy and very, she loves her some hot tubs. She loves her some like steaming water, because she also was in a steam situation with Eric
with
on their
Eric,
date.
Yes.
But
yes.
Nothing compared to that Peter situation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She full on straddled him and was like dry humping in the water. and a part of me like was like, ugh. Like I wasn't mad at it, because that's the same thing that I feel like any other bachelor or bachelorette would be doing. But
right.
A part of my heart was like, "Ooh, girl, no, don't
fall, yeah, don't
do
fall
it.
In that trap." That, yeah.
And then
that
she didn't give him a trap. She didn't give him a rose, which was funny to me. She was like, "Yeah, cool. I'm gonna go ahead and give this to." Did she give it to Will? She gave it to Will in that episode.
Yes. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when he got his 101 the next episode, and then he was out of there.
Right.
There was something that she said to Brian that I wanted us to talk about, which she says to Brian that I don't believe the good things when they happen to me when it comes to men.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, yeah, I relate to that. It's kind of like,
yeah,
this is too good to be true. You start to question it. You start to think about like, what is your intention in this situation? I know, I mean, maybe this is something that all people can relate to, but there's something in particular about, like, growing up as a Black girl in America that, like shit happened. There's stuff that I can say that like, happened to me in as a teenager that I'm just like, yo, like, thank God I survived that. Like, there's just so much.
Absolutely.
And you know, I read a lot of memoirs, you know, and you see that, you start to see a pattern of, like, trauma that happens, and then also the lack of acknowledgement for that trauma. Whereas I sometimes you feel like with other stories, other people, like at the very least, you'll get the Lifetime movie about it, you'll get the like series that kind of addresses it. But like for like a lot of Black girls, like things happen and like it just happens and you feel like you're the only one. Or, like, it becomes, like, a normalized thing in your community. Like, oh, that's such and such. She's, whatever the case might be, like,
yeah, you know. She's a survivor.
Yeah, she's a
survivor. And, you know, and that survivorship is then, you know, wrapped around the legacy of strong Black womanhood.
Yes.
You know, so Black women are strong, and she can absorb and endure. And when it comes to relationships, you know, I think there's this thing about the courtship, the honeymoon phase of a relationship where everything is great, and you're being courted and swooned and told sweet nothings and all of that that happens at the beginning of a relationship, but there's no follow through, right? So it's like once there's a commitment made or once a guy feels like he has you, he doesn't do that anymore. And I think that's one of the reasons that women in general and Black women in particular feel like, okay, you're just saying that or you don't mean that, because there's very rarely follow through. Once a guy gets your attention, once he gets whatever he wants from you, whether that is sex and or your affection, you know, because sometimes they just want to prove that they could get you if they want you.
So it's a chase.
Even if it's it's about the chase. It's a game. So once and I can definitely see this show being a version of that, because I think that there are definitely some contestants on the show that it was a game. I'm going to come on here and I'm going to woo her because I can. I think that there was some of that going on with Josiah.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, because he was just trying to be charming. He was not being sincere, but I can get this girl. I can get any girl. And there was also some of that going on with DeMario, right?
Yeah.
DeMario, who was dismissed early on, but who has also had this drama going on with the Bachelor in Paradise show.
Do we want to?
What are your thoughts on that? That's my not so subtle transition to the Bachelor in Paradise shenanigans.
So, you know, it's been a few weeks since it first happened, and now they're bringing the show back. They because, you know, everyone has been exonerated, and DeMario went on this like press circuit where he was trying to clear his name. He talked about his mom crying every day because of his name being dragged through the mud. And then, you know, reading all these things and like listening to his interview with, I believe, E! Online about just like what exactly happened. So he talks about meeting Corinne, who was on the same season as Rachel, and them talking about both being the villains and, like, you know, kind of hooking and really hitting it off and then ultimately hooking up. And he like talks about her like straddling his face, which is something else I was hearing rumors that was like an oral sex kind of situation. And, you know, just him really just saying like, I didn't do anything. These are the facts.
She was
as
the
I
aggressor.
Remember. She was the aggressor. And these are the facts as I know it. And then right after that, I read her her statement from June 14th, where she pretty much started off, like, her first word in that statement was, I am a victim.
Yeah, I am a victim.
This is my worst nightmare. Like, this, you know, and it just made me, like, reading it backwards, because that's ultimately, like, I was doing research for this conversation, and I kind of was reading things backwards from, like, okay, what is the ultimate story, but then what were the stories that were coming out? That made me, like, question a lot of things, because ultimately, I'm team believe women. Believe women.
Absolutely.
I cannot say that enough. And if there was footage of something that happened, I feel like there would be charges. I don't think this country, I don't think that anyone would hesitate to bring charges against DeMario, especially if there's cameras all around. Like, I just...
Absolutely. And especially if there's a white woman involved. Because, you know, that there's a way in which folk are really concerned about white women in a way that they're not always concerned about Black women, right? So we have to protect white women, especially from Black men. So there's a racial dynamic at play there as well, and it's unique because we don't usually have that many Black male contestants showing up in the franchise or the spinoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very unique situation because it also makes you wonder how this would be framed if it were not DeMario Jackson, if it was like Tony, if it was a white boy, you know, like, would he have been villainized in the same way from the beginning before we had all of the information? If he were a white man, would he have been given a benefit of the doubt? And please believe, I am not here for DeMario.
Absolutely
in any
not.
Sense of the term.
Absolutely
I,
not.
You know, yeah. Called him out. He's not quite right from the, you know, from the very first episode of the Bachelorette, But I think that all of those things have to be a part of the conversation. We can't ignore the racial dynamic that's at play in the Bachelorette this season, but also that's now at play in the spinoff.
So I guess let's take a hard transition into who are our final four, because if if all the things I've read is correct, because this is my first time watching it, and I know yours too, there will be four guys that would get home visits, right?
Yes.
So as of right now, there are seven guys. Who are your four, your top four, your final four?
My top four, my final four. Okay, so Eric is at the top because for all of the reasons I've already said, I'm here for Eric. And I think that Dean and Brian, because Brian got the first impression rose, and from what I understand, that has been, you know, really a relevant indicator of who is in the final, who is a finalist.
Yeah.
And Peter.
Yes.
I think those are my final four because the other guys are just not memorable at all.
Cool.
So unless something really shifts in this next episode and they show up in ways they have not shown up, I think those are my final four.
We are on the exact same page. And then we should also say that those are also older guys. I mean, besides Dean, who's 26, Brian is 37, Eric is 29, and Peter is 31. So our assumption that she is looking for a grown-ass man is correct.
Yes. Yes, because see, and she's, what, 31?
Yeah, she's 31, yeah.
31, yes, so yes. And those, and all of these guys are within, with the exception of Dean, are within, you know, a year or two of her, so that matters.
So, Robin, thank you for, again, co-hosting this with me and, like, feeding this bachelorette vice I now have. So
absolutely.
All right, until next time.
Until next time.
Okay, that's it for the second edition of Represent Rose. Thanks again to Robin. And listeners, look out for a regular Represent episode right after this one in the feed this Friday. Represent is produced by me. Aisha Harris, as y'all know, is our esteemed host. Our social media assistant is Marissa Martinelli. And our intro outro music is performed by the sweet San Francisco funk soul band, Midtown Social. And if you enjoyed this, please let us know. Shoot us an email at represent@slate.com and tell us about it. All right, y'all. Peace out.